Thank you for listening to this sermon that was recorded during Eastertide at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church. Our sermons are based upon lectionary readings for the day. For more information about Holy Innocents, visit our website or friend us on Facebook. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
One of the coolest things I get to do as a chaplain over at Holy Innocents School is I get to do chapel for the primary school every Monday morning at 8:40. There's no better way on earth to start your week. This past Monday, I brought in a picture of my dog, Lucy. Sweet Lou Dog is the most perfect kind of mutt that there is. A mix of who knows what from who knows where. A mistake in evolution where God's grace swoops in and makes a truly excellent pet. We know for sure that she's got some kind of shepherding cattle dog something in there. She's a furious protector, and she always knows where we are at all times. If we're in the living room watching television, and if one of us gets up to go to the kitchen, Lucy follows. And then she follows back. She waits for us outside the bathroom in the mornings. She waits for us outside of our bedroom. She sits at the door if we go check the mail. And if she doesn't have her eye on Sean or me, she's got her eye on one of the other two dogs in the house. Unless we're in the backyard, of course, in which case she's got her eye on the tennis ball. And the truth is, I actually think she manages to keep her eye on all of these things. Two dogs, two humans, and a ball simultaneously. At all times and in all places, Lucy is there. She's faithful, watchful, protective, sometimes a little bit intense, no doubt, but she's remarkably loving. As a camp director every summer, it is always one of my top priorities to make sure that the campers and my staff get plenty of rest. Rarely do I allow any all-nighters of funnery, if you know what I mean. It's lights out at 9:30 or 10, tops, no questions asked. During rest time, which is that sweet 75 minutes after lunch every day, I have a zero-tolerance policy for shenanigans. You are either on your bed sleeping or you're on your bed pretending to be asleep. Are we clear? Sometimes this makes me an unpopular camp director, but I don't care. I tell you what, I believe that we are at our best when we are rested. I learned this from my friend Riley when he was 12. Now, before I start this portion of my sermon, I want to be very clear that he has grown up some and he is now on staff with me at camp. But this day, years ago, when he was 12, he was on my last nerve. It was like halfway through camp, we were exhausted, and he was going through this phase where he just knocked over anything that was stacked. Towels, papers, anything that was in a pile, Riley would just knock it over. I was at my wit's end. And so finally, I pulled him aside, and I said, Riley, sit right here on the floor. For 30 minutes, do not speak, do not move, Riley. He was asleep in 5 minutes, with his back against the wall, completely knocked out. Later that night, when we were talking about the things we had learned that day, what we had wished we had done better, what we'll be doing tomorrow, Riley said, I learn I'm a real pain when I'm tired. And I was, we learned that too, Riley. We learned that too. Have you slept well? That's a common greeting in Botswana, you know. Not good morning, not how are you, but have you slept well? Years ago, I passed a church marquee, trouble sleeping, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. Yeah, as cliche as that might sound, I roll my eyes when I hear it, I won't lie. I still wonder about the truth of it. Folks, resting is practically a sacrament, you know. It's been ordained since the beginning of time when even the Creator took a day off to take a nap after all of that creating. sleep, rest, Sabbath. It's sacred stuff. The Botswanan greeting, "Have you slept well?" is a holy question. It's a sacred thing. And the answer tells us a lot about how that person's doing today. Yeah, we've all had those nights. Those nights when suddenly it's 2 a.m. and no matter who else may be in the house, partners, pets, moonlight, shadows, children, visitors, your body is the only one awake. And I don't think I've ever felt so lost and alone than I do when it's pitch black dark in my own house. Corners that aren't there in the daylight get me in my side. The staircase is cut short and I take that final empty step into the air at the top of the stairs. I stump my toe on a piece of furniture that I swear just jumped right out in front of me. Door frames become more narrow. The bed is an extra foot away and I can't for the life of me find the light switch. And as the minutes tick-tock by, even if your eyes adjust, the world seems to still just get darker at that hour. Our thoughts get the best of us and spin us out of control. Suddenly, matters we thought we had a handle on just hours earlier when the sun was up seem bleak and kind of hopeless. If you're like me, that to-do list that you keep putting on the back burner comes creeping into the forefront, and next thing you know, it's 3 a.m. and you're sitting at your kitchen table drinking orange juice and sending emails. Maybe it's not anxiety that gets you per se. Maybe it's loneliness or dread or deep sadness, grief. Maybe it's just a combination of all of it. Whatever it is that pulls me out of bed at that dark hour to make me wander the house, no matter what it is, right there outside my bedroom door is my Lucy. The other dogs are sweet lumps of sugar, but they don't stir at this time of night. Lucy, she knows I'm awake even before I know I'm awake, before my feet touch the ground. She senses it. And she's there to be my usher. She's my guide. She's with me in the kitchen when I'm pouring juice. She's at my side at the table when I'm opening my computer. She's on the sofa with me when I finally decide to give sleep another try. In the darkest of nights, she does not flinch at what's troubling me. Her only concern is keeping an eye on me. And so it is in a life with God. God's only concern is us. In the night, fumbling in the dark, God calls us by name and ushers us into the light. When we are lost, it is the shepherd who finds us. I have to confess that being a sheep to the shepherd is not exactly my favorite image in the Bible. I have a hard time likening myself to a sheep. They're kind of dumb. One of the things I embrace about being an Episcopalian is that we are expected not to have fluff for brains. We are expected not to just blindly follow. It's our mindfulness, it's our alertness, it's our active brains that we honor here in an Episcopal community. We are encouraged, however, to be thinkers and believers, those with questions and those with great faith. We must be those who toil and those who rest. My friend Riley taught me years ago all of those things keeping us from sleep, all of those things that make our minds feel active and alive way too early in the morning in the dark. They will trap us there. All of that stuff, it'll trap us in the darkness if we let it. It'll keep us from being our best. It's the Good Shepherd who teaches us that there is a time to lay all of it down for the sake of security and comfort and warmth and light. The image of the shepherd, it's not going to necessarily send you straight into an 8-hour rest. You cannot swallow this story like a sleeping pill. The gospel is never that easy. But you can adopt this story. You can adopt the image of the Good Shepherd. It can be yours. When you are awake and scared and lonely and blind, this image of love and care, of sacrifice and grace, of warmth and light, it's yours. The Good Shepherd can be your partner in the darkness, the one who hooks you and brings you back into the fold and keeps you safe until the sun comes up. To God be the glory. Amen.